Hey guys, every once in a while, I like to bring something to you that I think will be motivational, or as I like to call them, feel good stories. And today we're going to do that. We have a good longtime friend of the show, Scott Rupp, and he had sent me a message a couple of months ago about a charity that he and his wife, Christina, run. It's called Home Safe Horses. It is a Christian-based nonprofit horse rescue, but here's the good thing. So they bring the horses in. They give them this fantastic sanctuary so they can live a long, healthy life. They're safe. They're in peace. But once these horses are rehabilitated, they pair them with children, which actually provides opportunities for both the animal and the human to develop rich and nurturing relationships where growth, confidence, and trust can develop into a Christ-first, Christ-centered environment. Scott, I want to say, first of all, thank you for what you and your wife do. I know this is an awesome charity, and I think it's fantastic that you guys not only help horses, but then you turn around and use that situation to help children. Most of them are what, from ages like 6 to 18? Is that about right?
Yeah, most of the kids we serve, the program here is designed for children that are in the community. They are ages 6 to 18. All the sessions that we host here at the ranch, they're free. And anyone is invited to come. The sessions are free because the gospel is free. So they're able to come at basically any point in the year from about April through the end of October and work and pair and join up with horses and learn about God's creatures and his gentleness and their rehabilitated nature and maybe have a little fun doing it.
So how did you guys get started with this? What was it that registered with you guys? Were you like, you know, did you see something that was bad happening to some horses or to say, hey, we need to do something? How did all this start?
Well, my wife, Christina, her mother died about 6.5 years ago. And during that loss, that process, that grieving time, she needed a way to sort of sort through some of that. And so she found a local rescue at the time we were living in Florida, and she found a local horse rescue there, and she started volunteering just as something to do, something to kind of focus her time and attention. And through that process, she found out how healing and therapeutic these horses could be, these rescued animals, because it was the same type of situation. So all the horses were abused or neglected or somehow ended up at this sanctuary where they then needed to be taken care of and needed to be handled and worked with. And so she found it to be a very healing, comfortable place, very loving environment to be around these animals that had, you know, previously been in some pretty bad situations. And through that experience, she encouraged myself and our kids. We have two kids, our daughter and son, to kind of participate in the journey with her. And that just led to family time together. It led to us the ability to sort of move past the loss of her mom, who was a fairly large influence in our lives. We were very close to her. And allowed us to move forward in a new direction. We saw some of the things that we were working through personally, able to kind of change and transform because we found ourselves just connecting with these animals. One thing led to another. We started researching and reading more about what life with horses or equine therapy might look like. And we then started connecting and following other authors and other industry leaders, if you will, and that we started interviewing them and reading their books and talking to them about their journeys. And we said, we might be able to do this. We might be able to kind of do what they're doing. And some, you know, so all of these types of organizations are different. Some don't work with kids. Some just work with the horses. Some have specific programs for the armed forces or veterans or these types of things. And we really wanted to find a way to work with formerly abused and neglected horses in that we could then pair them with what we thought was very near and dear to us, was, you know, children or those who might not have the opportunity to do something like connect with creatures like this. And then we kind of paired that with our faith, and we just started walking the journey. And it took us about 4 years from the time that we said, look, I think God's calling us to do this, to where we actually left Florida and came up here to West Tennessee, and we're able to start putting this mission together. We visited many places. We were all over the Eastern Seaboard looking for a place, looking for where we might be called to be doing to do this. Like I said, we talked to dozens of people that have around the country that have established programs like this, and then we just took time and put together a plan for how we got here. We didn't know where we were coming. We live in a small West Tennessee community that's actually one of the most poor communities in the state. The crime is very high here. The economics are fairly poor here. So opportunities in some regards are quite limited. So we felt like we were called here. We felt God had a plan for us to be here, and found the ranch and started building it from scratch about 2 years ago.
How many horses would you say you typically have on the ranch at one time?
Well, we started with obviously one, a rescue from an auction barn, which was probably headed to in Mexico for the meat market. And now we have 10 horses. One of them is a donkey and one of them is a pony. So 8 horses, a donkey and a pony. That's where we are right now. We've been at this population since about midsummer. The ranch is 60 acres, and it can probably, if we had to expand fully, it could probably hold a 25 to 30. But we obviously need to move slower than that. Right now we're growing the program. There was nothing here when we started. There was a house and a barn and a little bit of land. There was no fence, no stalls, no infrastructure whatsoever. So we just kind of cast the vision on the place. We felt like it was where we should be. And we started with little temporary plastic posts in the ground that you string wire. And that was our first fence for our first horse, which we bought at the Christmas auction in December 2020 in an animal barn there. And we have 10 horses. And again, like the horses range from all different types. You've got quarter horses, you've got your Tennessee walking horses, you've got an Arabian, we've got register horses with papers, and none of that matters to us, right? In most cases they come in very bad condition, exceedingly bad physical condition, in which they are practically near death or in the process of dying. For example, this summer we rescued 3 horses from Texas and brought them up here. Two of them were the worst case horses we've ever seen, nothing but skin and hair and bone. And the other came along the way. We didn't know she was coming, but the other came along the way. She's full blind. And so we decided to, adopt her as well. If we hadn't adopted her, she was headed to the meat market somewhere in Mississippi. But the point being is that these horses were in such terrible condition. But, all they really needed was some time, attention, and some groceries. One of them was so bad that actually didn't make it, because the damage to the internal organs of this animal were so tremendously bad that there was nothing we could do. And the vet said, we have to move on. Best thing we can do is let this animal go in peace. But the other two are flourishing. I mean, the one is a 3 or 4 year old colt. Full of life and energy, and he's a pretty amazing animal. He's put on about 400 pounds, and he's just a mountain of a horse now. And he's got a whole beautiful life ahead of him. And the blind horse that arrived with him, we've never seen a more beautiful, graceful horse. Or she can't see a thing, but she just knows. She just knows where she's at. She knows she's safe. She'll come up with into my wife Christina's shoulder, and she'll just put her. She'll just put her head right up on her shoulder, and they'll just give each other hugs. And she's got these beautiful, like, gold eyes that, can't see anything, but they're just so full of expression. So just these gifts. So to answer your question, we currently have 10 right now, but we assess as they come. And we do our best to, if people come and say, hey, we've got these horses, what do you want to do? Well, the best thing for an animal that needs love is for the animal to stay where it has gotten love. We get a lot of calls that say, my horse is broken down, I can't ride it anymore. It's got arthritis or whatever, I need to get rid of this horse. And the fact is that horse gave you its best. That horse was there for you during all that time. Now it's time for you to be there for them. In some cases, we understand that it doesn't work that way. Everyone can't save their horse so they're not in a situation where they can be. But if it's possible, the best thing for those horses is to stay with them, the original owner.
So what about the children that come in that you match up with the horses? How do those children get to the ranch as far as, are they part of a program out there, or do you connect with programs to say, hey, we've got this opportunity for kids who need it? How do they find out about the ranch, and how are they able to connect with these horses? How do you guys find those children, I guess is my best way of asking.
So this last summer, spring summer was our first season where we hosted children, had free sessions. Primarily those children came to us either through our outreach on social and through some local connections in the community. Obviously, we've only been here 2 years, so we're still trying to get our feet into the community as well. We have no previous connection to this community. We know no family or anything here. So it's been reaching out to community organizations, churches, and then on social. So usually a parent will contact us and ask us if they can come. They do. The process really is just a simple intake. You know, you sign the form, and we kind of identify, we pray, and we identify which horse the child might work with. The sessions are one-on-one. So it's one child, one horse. And in the beginning, it was primarily just the one child and the one instructor and the one horse. But then as we moved forward, we started bringing the families in. So it's become kind of a family effort, like the mother or father that shows up with them. We've really seen them grow and come together when they have time to, you know, interact with the animal and work with them together. But so the kids, they come from the community. They come from just around those that, you know, that live around us, they can come here. We expect that. So we're about an hour north of Memphis and kind of in the area of West Tennessee, where there's several smaller communities around us. So we expect we'll be receiving serving children from about an hour radius around us. But it's open to anyone. The only requirement for participation is that the child wants to be here. If they don't want to be here, then we can't make them be here. And so, but if they want to be here, we'll let them participate in whichever way they possibly want to. That could be, you know, looking at a horse. It could be grooming a horse. It could be feeding a horse. It could be doing everything up until the point of wanting to learn how to ride or even ride. It really is just an opportunity for the child to connect with the animal and have a safe place to see maybe what kindness, love, and grace can do for one of God's creatures that was previously tossed aside. And I think that's where the real power of what we're trying to do comes through, is that in many cases, you know, kids are going through so much, right? We've all gone through so much, and it seems to be getting more difficult as we go forward, but kids are going through so much, and sometimes they can't speak to what they're going through because it's hard. You know, sometimes they have difficulty processing it themselves. I know that I did. But when they connect with the horse, it's like there's this unwritten language. They can communicate in a way that words can't even describe. It's just being in the presence of some of these animals that, you know, it's amazing to watch a horse come in and change or help heal a young heart. It's kind of indescribable, but it's an amazing thing to witness, to see one of these creatures just connect with one of these children. It's a pretty moving, pretty beautiful experience.
Do you find that most of the children that come are children that have experienced some life difficulties, or do you find a mixed bag of like the same type of kids that would just go to a pony ride because it's there?
It's been a mixed bag. But that's just been our experience so far. But we expect, we were designed and sort of, we're setting out programs to work with children that who have been through some difficult times, who have been through maybe, you know, abuse or neglect of their own, so they can see themselves in and through the horses. That's part of the program that we're trying to create here. But again, that doesn't limit who we want to serve. Even if children who have the means and have, you know, the the quote unquote everything is going okay or well for them, it's fine. If they want to come here and they have the ability to connect with the horse, they can still learn about natural horsemanship, which is what we practice. They can still connect with us. We can pray. We can learn about, you know, how God works through these creatures. And then again, then we can, if they are able to then move on, or they want to learn some other skills, the program is open to anyone. So it's not a matter of, it's really not what they themselves are bringing. It's what they can get out of it. And so that's, again, it's open to everyone. But so far, yeah, it's been a mixed bag. But we are trying to create some programs and design some outreach for individuals within the community that have been through some struggles.
I think the obvious next question is obvious. You know, when you've got 10 horses, that's not cheap to maintain. I know I've known some people in the past that had horses just for the, you know, they weren't thoroughbreds or anything. They were just general horses that were beloved pets. And I know how expensive that could be. How do you guys fund all this? I mean, this is obviously, you're letting the kids come in for free, so you're not getting the money that way. How does all of it get taken care of?
Well, I appreciate that. It's a great question. And I think the best answer to that is, we've been blessed to a certain degree. So far we've done a lot of self-funding. The organization it's a passion project as well as a ministry. So we've self-funded a little bit. We do have some outside donations as well coming in from individuals that care about the work that we're doing, primarily helping with infrastructure and such, building stalls and putting up fence. So we do call outs. We'll do some call outs on social media. Eventually we'll work into a formalized program where we're doing grants and trying to raise money through public organizations and going out to charitable gifters and such. But right now it's been grassroots. It's been, you know, small donations coming in and individuals believing in what we're trying to build here and funding it that way, $10, $25, $100 at a time. But we, you know, since we feel called, we enjoy and are thoroughly blessed by any support that outsiders offer us. But right now it's just been kind of operating as a mission.
One of the reasons I brought you on, Scott, and the reason that I wanted to put this out when we're putting it out, because we're recording this on Monday and we're putting it out on Monday. I truly believe in what you and Christina are doing. I think it's a fantastic charity, and I love that you guys are just doing it more or less because this is what you feel like that you've been led to do more than anything else. And you're helping children, you're helping horses. It's just an all-around great thing when you can help two different entities at the same time. But tomorrow is which is Tuesday, is a very special day when it comes to charities like yourself. So why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
All right, I appreciate it. So tomorrow's Giving Tuesday. It's the first Tuesday every year after Thanksgiving. It falls in line. It's kind of the kickoff to the Christmas giving season. It's a global day of donation and well-being where individuals kind of kick off the Christmas season. And thousands of organizations like ours, all and nonprofits, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, around the country have programs to launch on Giving Tuesday. And our Giving Tuesday program this year, it's our first time doing it. So we are doing a buy a board, build a stall. We have a few stalls in our barn, but we don't have enough to support the horses that we have. And obviously stalls bring comfort and they bring order, which are good for in the winter season and good for when the children come here. So we are doing a buy a board, build a stall program where we're hoping to raise enough money to ultimately build six stalls that would take care of all the animals. And so we're hoping that we can raise enough money to do that one board at a time. And it cost about, for each stall, it cost about $512 for all the lumber and hardware. So one board is about, give or take, about $10.72. And so we're doing a buy the board. You can buy a board, you could buy a wall, you can buy the stall, or you can buy them all. And hopefully there's someone out there that would love to buy some boards for the barn, because we do all the labor, we do it all ourselves. We build it, everything here, we put our own hands into it. So it's anything raised goes directly back. So that's our Giving Tuesday our Giving Tuesday campaign this year. We're trying to build some infrastructure to help keep the horses especially warm during this winter. It gets kind of cold out here in West Tennessee, especially in January and February. And then for the sessions, it's particularly important for the sessions for the kids to have the horses. We have them tied up, or we have them in the round pen, for example. But when the kids come here, they really love to see the horses in the stalls. It gives us a great chance to introduce them. It gives us a chance to connect in a calm and safe manner. And we're able to do that now, obviously, but we would like to have more of that order that provides, you know, safety and comfort to everyone. So that's what we're trying to do for Giving Tuesday. Big deal for all nonprofits and worldwide, I believe. But a lot of small organizations really are, we really are grassroots, and we're doing things, you know, out of acts of passion. So these are important, you know, times for organizations like ours, and those who are able to support really do make a difference. They're really changing lives in significant ways. And we know that even one board is it's a big deal. It makes a real difference. So that's what we're doing this year.
Well, what I'm going to do, obviously Tracy and I are going to contribute to the charity. And we're going to put, you sent me some information on the price per board, per wall, per stall. And I'm going to post that in the show notes. So if you're listening to this, just go to the show notes. You'll have that. But I'm also going to plaster it on all of our social media. So either Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, the group, anywhere you follow us on social media, all this will get posted. And I'll post it tonight so everybody can get ahead of the game if they want. But we appreciate what you and Christina are doing. Thank you so much for coming on with us, Scott. And hopefully this is a very successful charity drive for you guys tomorrow.
I am beyond honored and thrilled, and I'm extremely thankful for your time, Jerry, and what you and Trace are doing is really amazing. And I'm very humbled by this. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who's listened, and thank you, everyone, for taking the time to listen to our story. And follow along. We're at homesafehorses.com. Our organization is called Home Safe Horses. And you can find us on Facebook, too, Home Safe Horses. Thank you so much, everyone, and thank you, Jerry.
All right, everybody. That's Scott Rupp. He is the face that I have today, him and his wife, Christina, of Home Safe Horses. I wouldn't have him on here if I didn't 100% believe in what they do. You guys know that. And like I said, I've been able to connect with Scott for the last probably 6 years, ever since the show started. He was one of the first people that we connected with when the show started, and he's been there ever since. And we've been following what you guys are doing. And, you know, you guys started this after we connected for the first time, and I've been able to watch you guys grow. And like I said, nothing but the utmost respect for what you and your wife do.
Thanks, sir.
All right, guys, we'll talk to you later, and spread the word about Home Safe Horses.